consecrate my office, my energies, and all the wisdom I can summon to the cause of peace among nations.
Now those who seek absolute power, even though they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth.
I want to thank Secretary Powell for his careful and powerful presentation of the facts.
A pack of lies. A pack of lies.
The United States government has, one way or another, ordered, authorized, permitted, tolerated, torture.
We're making tremendous progress, but there is much more to do to win the war on terrorism and defeat terrorism.
I have a dream. I have a dream.
The fact is, we do need better international governance to help spread the benefits of globalization, 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 globalization.
American world domination or paramountcy. Historically, the U.S. sought security, not domination.
Nothing's perfect in life, so you have an election that's not quite perfect.
Now was the time to come forward and say who specifically was on that energy task force and lift any kind of shadow that's still there.
We've been through this issue a number of times.
We need to make sure that the political, the economic, and the security infrastructure of that state is shaped and helped to come into being.
Weapons of mass destruction.
There are such things as roving wiretaps. Now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so. It's important for our fellow citizens to understand, when you think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place when it comes to doing what is necessary to protect our homeland, because we value the Constitution.
This is a highly classified program that is crucial to our national security. Its purpose is to detect and prevent terrorist attacks against the United States, our friends and allies. Yesterday, the existence of this secret program was revealed in media reports after being improperly provided to news organizations. As a result, our enemies have learned information they should not have. And the unauthorized disclosure of this effort damages our national security and puts our citizens at risk.
Now, the New York Times learned about the NSA spying operation 1 year ago, but decided not to report the story immediately. The Times said the Bush administration argued that early publication could jeopardize continuing terror investigation.
It would compromise our ability to protect the people. I think the point that Americans really want to know is twofold. One, are we doing everything we can to protect the people? And two, are we protecting civil liberties as we do so? And my answer to both is yes, we are.
The law is very clear. There's part of it here that when they were creating this law, it said that the current bill recognizes no inherent power of the president to conduct electronic surveillance except through the FISA Act. And by going around it, you're violating, it's a felony.
Talon is one of those databases in which the Pentagon has put all sorts of information about people participating in protests, perhaps against the Iraq War, environmental demonstrations, or other types of events, have put this information on these individuals in the database. Now, the New York Times learned about the NSA spying operation 1 year ago, but decided not to report the story immediately.
As a matter of fact, private companies have databases which have a profile of you and me and every citizen in this country. Detailed information about who we are, what we, where we go, how we travel, what we buy, what we sell, the price we pay. All of that is contained in databases now, some of which is marketed or attempted to be marketed to the government. So the question becomes, do we want to have in place clear, very definite rules on how far the government can go in collecting information, given the tools that we now have in the facility to collect it. How far do you want them to go without some kind of serious check and balance to make sure that the people who are guarding us are being watched as well?
A very complicated constitutional issue reduced to simplest form. If there's a declaration of war, the president has very broad powers as commander-in-chief. But all the Congress did, Jerry, in this case after September 11th, was issue a resolution giving the president the power of use of force. All that means is the president indeed can do domestic surveillance, but he has to use a process under a 1978 federal law. If he didn't do it, he probably violated the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And that's really what Senator Spector wants to look into.
The president's explanation that he needs to move quickly, and so he needs to get these wiretaps right away so he won't go to this secret court in most cases because he needs to move quickly. Does that hold up?
You know, I really don't think it does, John. The FISA law has a provision that says if you need to work really fast, as you sometimes need to do in intelligent matters, you can go after you've done the wiretap and get retroactive permission to a retroactive warrant. So that argument, I think, just is factually not supported.
He's trying to claim somehow that the authorization for the Afghanistan attack after 9/11 permitted this, and you know, I tell you something, that's just absurd. There's not a single senator or member of Congress who thought we were authorizing wiretaps. You know, if he needs a wiretap, the authority's already there. In the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act, they can ask for a warrant to do that, and you know what? Even if there's an emergency situation, they can go for 72 hours as long as they give notice at the end of the 72 hours. So the president is basically saying he runs the war on terror and the Congress and the representatives of the American people don't have to pass laws to allow it. And okay, you know what? That's not our system of government. Put it all together. The original detaining of people in Guantanamo as enemy combatants, which the Supreme Court had to strike down, the extreme approach to military tribunals that had to be stopped, the authorization of torture and Abu Ghraib,
the
secret prisons,
so you,
secret
you
prisons around
in?
The world. I think we see a pattern here. A White House and a president who believes that he's above the law, that he can make up the law as long as he's the president, and that it doesn't matter what our own laws and our system of government of checks and balances call for. It's a shocking series, a shocking record.
Wasn't there a different standard for a FISA wiretap, a FISA court wiretap, as opposed to the kind of wiretaps that the president had authorized without court orders?
James knows this as well as anyone, that for FISA you need probable cause that someone is involved in terrorism in order to get, or in some illegal activity to get the warrant. With the activity that NSA was carrying out, the trigger was somewhat softer. You needed something to the effect of a reasonable reason to believe that the person was involved in some kind of illegal activity or terrorist activity.
The FBI has got to tread incredibly carefully when they encounter entirely lawful groups like PETA, Greenpeace, and the Catholic Worker, for example. And what these documents show is that there isn't any kind of care like that being done.
The documents show informants for the FBI monitoring environmental and animal rights conferences and protests.
And they say the NSA eavesdrops in the U.S. without warrants on as many as 500 people at any given time. Kitty?
The American people are too smart for the games as usual in politics. I think they probably had a belly full is a fair statement.
The administration is caught in a situation where the intelligence is flawed or controversial, whether it was the invasion of Iraq or this spying on American citizens. Their first line of defense is, well, the Democrats were in on this. They knew all about it. And that's just not true.
It's been a few days since President Bush said he'd catch Osama dead or alive. Let's check in with the Osama clock and see how long it's been. Oh, Osama clock, how long has it been?
1,550 days.
You're paying me all this money, I better get back to work.
This check of the Osama clock is brought to you by...
Brought to you by the faint holiday hope that George Bush won't go to see King Kong and subsequently attack the Bronx Zoo.
Just trying to look good in front of the folks here at home.
His approval rating has plunged in California. They're even turning against him in his native Austria. Austrian politicians are trying to remove Schwarzenegger's name from a sports stadium in his very own hometown. They're upset that he didn't spare the life of convicted murderer Stanley Tucci Williams. Opposition to the death penalty is strong in Austria, and Schwarzenegger's name could be wiped off the stadium as soon as next month.
Lou, this chart was built by a gentleman named Jacob L. Boson. He was a contract employee working for the Defense Intelligence Analysis Center at Bowling Air Force Base. This is the kind of the analytical heart of the DIA. They call it the Death Star. And this is a year after the African embassy bombing, and the fact that the DIA had evidence linking Ramzi Youssef, the original World Trade Center bomber, and the blind sheikh directly to Al-Qaeda and bin Laden is hugely significant. And by the way, this is what runs counter to the conclusion of the 9/11 Commission, people like Dietrich Snell, and it's why I believe Snell and company decided to flush the Able Danger intelligence when they were briefed on it.
Well, I think there have been actually about 1,682 who've been killed in action and another 450 or so who have died in accidents or various other things. That's a lot of human beings. When compared, of course, to Vietnam or Korea or World War One or World War Two, it's a much smaller number. But each one, obviously, is something that you think about. And when I visit the wounded in the hospitals, you can't help but admire their courage, their perseverance, their pride in what they're doing, and their belief in the cause that they're fighting for. They are convinced that they're winning in Iraq. They are convinced that they are engaged in noble work that's important for the world and for our country and to protect the American people here at home.
Since the inception of the Iraq War, I'd like to know the approximate total of Iraqis who have been killed, and by Iraqis, I include civilians, military, police, insurgents, translators.
He's going to take questions from an unscreened audience? My God, the administration's gone to plan F.
How many Iraqi citizens have died in this war? I would say 30,000, more or less.
Well, it's nice to see the president estimating casualties with the same inflection you use to guess how many jelly beans are in a jar. I guess, give or take, I'm going to go with 30,000-ish. But then again, what time is it?
Mr. President, I would like to know why it is that you and others in your administration keep linking 9/11 to the invasion of Iraq when no respected journalist or Middle Eastern expert confirmed that such a link existed.
What she said, I missed a question, sorry. I beg your pardon, I didn't hear you, seriously.
Eep, does not compute. Eep, does not compute.
Concerned over unreported and underreported rapes, her organization, together with the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, created a national database to track sexual assaults that happened after Katrina. In the 6 weeks since the website has been up, with almost no publicity, it has received 42 reports of sexual assaults. A spokesperson with the Resource Center said the number is steadily growing. Already, these preliminary cases show a high number of gang rapes and rapes by strangers, both unusual characteristics. The 42 reports include assaults that happened inside New Orleans and outside the city, for instance, in host homes.
The people who were turned away, and the people we talked to were, most of them were tourists, the group we had assembled. Were tourists, many of them from Boston. There was a couple from San Francisco who had all been staying at the same hotel in the French Quarter. And when that hotel finally ran out of services and couldn't take care of them anymore, they decided to try to find some way out. They didn't want to go to the Superdome. They were told that if they could get across the bridge to Gretna, they were told this by the police, that there would be a way out. So they started walking the distance, about a mile or so, from where the police headquarters was set up, across from Harrah's Casino, to the bridge to Gretna, which is called the Crescent City Connection. When they got to the bridge, essentially they were turned back. The police fired shotguns at them. And I asked one of the people who was in the crowd there, who is white and is a paramedic from San Francisco who was there for a convention, why they were turned back. And he said because most of the people in the crowd were African American. And the police said, we don't want a Superdome in Gretna.
You know what I find intriguing is that the entire country is looking at this, and there are many school districts that are debating this, and yet the judge said that it's a maelstrom with the resulting waste of monetary and personal resources. He thinks it's a complete waste of time to go into this. Do you think it's a waste of time to even debate this?
I actually think intelligent design has very little merit, actually none, as a scientific proposition. So I agree with the judge. There is no reason to debate it, and whether it should be in science classes in public schools. Clearly, it should not be. If it could enjoy a nice position in philosophy class, but no need for debate beyond that. And in fact, this was a tremendous waste of the resources of the Dover community and all the people who worked on this case. It was an important trial. We're happy for the result, but it should have never taken place in the first place.
Bolivia's poor, disenfranchised majority sees him as their champion, an Indian like themselves, who rose to fame as the leader of the country's combatant coca leaf farmers. But for Bolivia's tiny middle class and elite, there could be no one worse for president than Evo Morales, a fiery socialist and sworn enemy of capitalism, a man who also horrifies the White House.
I think this would be the worst nightmare scenario for Washington, because right now you have a growing alliance between Venezuela and Cuba, and what is now a duo may become a trio.
Study found about 1 in 20 American adults are illiterate, lacking the skills to perform everyday tasks. That's a total of 11 million Americans. But the problem doesn't end there. It turns out the average American college graduate is also having a hard time performing up to snuff.
Now, the New York Times learned about the NSA spying operation 1 year ago, 1 year ago, 1 year ago, but decided not to report the story immediately. Decided not to report the story immediately. Decided not to report the story immediately.